something. Well, no, that's not exactly true. I didn't know I was sharing pretty much till I got here. It is the last Sunday, which means I would normally share, but Pastor John and I had switched to Sunday, and he must have forgot he was away. So I hadn't really thought of preaching. April mentioned to me first at home, says, "Aren't you preaching today?" I said, "No, I don't think so. I think John and I switched because of whatever." And then I got a text from Julia. "Hey, are you coming? Are you almost here?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm not preaching. What are you worried about?" You know. But I am preaching. So, but it's a good thing that I'm ready in season and out of season. Amen. I wanna share something this morning that is it's just awesome what God's doing, and I might be biased. And you know, because I'm getting up at 6 a.m, getting ready and coming here for 6:30 to be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. And you know, I haven't missed a day, but that's because God told me to do it and be here, and people can join me. And so obviously I haven't missed a day, but you know, this isn't just me saying, "Oh, this has been so amazing," because I'm looking for some way of justifying why I'm getting up every morning. You know, it really has been amazing, this journey of seeking the Lord. And God is speaking to me all the time and sharing things and showing me things. And just in the last couple mornings, there was a couple things that the Lord just, I can't even really describe it in the right way without saying that my understanding of how we communicate with God has completely been altered. How do we talk to God? Prayer, right? That's when you do the simple explanation, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. This is how we would explain it in Sunday school or a youth group or something. You're in a small group or something, and you'd say, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. And you say, okay, but what is there to talking? Well, you talk, yes, and you listen. So then the question becomes, well, how do you hear? How do you hear God? Well, we know that there's examples in the Bible that you might hear in a still small voice. You might hear Janet mentioned, you know, this morning that your heart is connected to God, that you're hearing it, you're the Holy Spirit, it lives on the inside of you, and it's sometimes you'll get like something on the inside of you, like an inner witness. We'll say that's like something in your heart. All of those kinds of things are always going to line up with the Word of God. So if there's something that you think is in your heart and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it probably wasn't really your heart. But if it was, you know, if it lines up with the Word, then you know it's from God. And so we know that God speaks to us in a still small voice. Occasionally, God speaks to us in an audible voice. I could probably say maybe once in my lifetime have I heard something and went, "Oh, I think that was God," you know? So that's not the norm. So some people have that, like, "Well, so what do you mean God talks to you?" Like, you know, you're sitting there and there's like a, you know, little angel on your shoulder, like in the cartoons, and he's whispering stuff to you. No, it's not how it works. But sometimes, well, not sometimes, the majority of the time, the way God's going to speak to you is through the Word. And so as we're coming in the morning, these morning sessions have not been about, they're not prayer meetings. It's not teaching sessions. These morning sessions have been about us just seeking the face of God, just seeking God, worshiping Him, hosting His presence, and saying, "God, we want to be individually and corporately, we want to be a people that host Your presence." Now, we know from the Word of God that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Everywhere you go, God goes with you. Everywhere you go, God is there. The difference is, in most scenarios, people don't recognize or understand how to get God, who's on the inside of them, out into their everyday situations. Because we've not taken the time to develop our relationship. And the relationship aspect is phenomenal. It really is. The Lord has shown me this a while ago. I'd have to scroll through some of my notes here to find the exact wording. But he showed me that the idea of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the same idea of a marriage. There was your single life, but then when you got married, you've now come into a deeper relationship. There's a greater intimacy now in your life. And that's what Jesus did with the New Testament. Yes, there was the Old Testament, showed us God's holiness, it showed us the standards of God, showed us where we missed it. And the Old Testament is not wrong. But the Old Testament is not a complete picture of what God wanted and designed for your life and for my life. That came about in the marriage of covenant called the crucifixion. And Jesus now has married the old with the new and provided a new covenant and a new relationship opportunity. So where you and I now can come into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, it was only a select few. In the New Testament, it's each and every one of us that call upon the name of Jesus can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need and obtain mercy. We can come to Jesus whenever we want. We can come to the Father. And so he started to show me some different you know, things in the Word of God that really highlighted this idea. And so I want to share a few of them with you this morning. Let me just find the first one here. Okay, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Now I'm going to read out of the King James, but the Lord has been showing me some things in another translation just that emphasizes what kind of gives color to the statement. But here's the Word of God in Matthew 23 verse I think I wrote down the wrong verse. Isn't that awesome? Give me 1 second. Matthew 22. Sorry. I wrote it down as 23. As soon as I started reading, I'm going, that's not what I read the other day. Why is this? Okay. Matthew 22, verse 37, says this. Well, let's look at verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And he goes on to say, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? But what is the great commandment? This lawyer asked Jesus. And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, I read this in the Passion, because this comes up in my app that I have on my phone. And it said, Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. Now, I love the emphasis here. He's saying, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All the passion, all the desire, everything that's in your heart. Make that your focus. Love God. And then he says, and with all thy soul. Your soul, of course, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so how it says in the other translation, it says, with all of your being, with everything that makes up who you are. So with every passion, of your heart, okay? With your whole heart, with your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your imagination, with all of these things, direct your creativity, if you will, to the pursuit of loving God, and with all your mind, with every thought that enters your mind. Now, how many people, show of hands, no, you don't have to show hands. How many people, if I was to say show of hands, already this morning, on the holiest day of the week, when you get ready and you don't argue with your spouse or yell at your kids or do anything or you know, get upset with someone driving 20 kilometers too slow on the highway on the way to church. This is the holiest day of the year. You've never made any mistakes on a Sunday. How many people could honestly say that with every passion of their heart, with every fiber of their being and every thought that enters their mind, that already this morning you've done nothing but pursue God? Okay? Amen. We got one person. Praise the Lord. Okay? I'll give you a confession. Your pastor this morning can't put his hand up. You know why? Because life happens. There are things that derail your thoughts. There are things that derail your focus. And are we to take condemnation? Is that why Jesus said that? Do this, and if you do this, you're perfect? No, because you've been made perfect because of what Jesus did for you. Why is Jesus giving this? Now, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. But why is Jesus explaining to someone that this is the greatest commandment? Because this is the greatest. If you can do this, matter of fact, if you could do this 100% of the time, you wouldn't have needed Jesus. But the thing is, you couldn't do it. But he's saying this is what you should do, but you can't do it. So here's the key. Don't try to do it. Just let it become the natural extension of your life. How? By spending time with him. The more time you spend with him, the more time when you're not, say, making direct time with God. Okay, like some people have a focused devotion time, a focused prayer time. That's wonderful. Some people have six kids and they squeeze it in where they can. Okay, so, but here's the thing that the Lord has shown me over the couple years, and I heard Andrew Womack say this one time. It was the most liberating statement I ever heard him say. He had a guy come into him. There was a preacher that talked about like spend an hour a day with God. And it was actually not a bad message, not a bad movement. It was someone that had it on their heart to say, let's get back to this place of dedicating time to the Lord. And so this guy had preached the message. Well, someone who came out of that ministry wanted to take it a step further. And they went around the country, around America, preaching, don't just take an hour, take three, take five, take whatever, try to do, you know. And so they wanted to meet Andrew Womack, because Andrew Womack was sort of an up-and-coming, he's on TV, he's on radio, people know his name. And so this guy arranged to have a bit of an interview with Andrew. And the first thing he says to him, when he gets introduced, he says, how much time, brother, do you spend with the Lord every day? How much time do you spend in prayer? Because he wanted to hear what Andrew said. And Andrew said the Holy Spirit basically revealed to him, if you told him you spend an hour a day, he'd say, I spend two. I guess I'm holier than you are. Like, the Lord revealed this man's heart and intent. And so Andrew said, huh, well, I mean, let me just pause and think about that. And he's meditating on that, saying, well, Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and said, how much time did you spend with your wife, Jamie, in fellowship yesterday? And he says, well, we were both busy, but we were nearby. And we made eye contact and we exchanged, touches as you walked by, or just, like you walk by and rub your wife on the back and you go grab yourself a cup of coffee. Not Andrew. He doesn't drink coffee. But he said, we didn't sit down and look at each other and have a conversation, really. We were both engaged in projects and doing things. But whenever I just said, oh, Jamie, can you come in here for a minute? Like, she just was right there. And if she said, oh, Andrew, can I show you something? I was right there. And he says, yeah. So he said, is that not the same with me? He says, you might not sit down and for an hour straight pray in the Holy Ghost or, you know, come and have a conversation with me. But it says, are you not in fellowship with me all day? That at any moment, your thoughts can turn to me and I speak to you and we share things. And he goes, yeah. He says, well, tell the guy that. So Andrew turns to the guy and he says, well, I spend all day with God. Well, what do you mean all day? There's no way you could spend all day with God. How many hours did you spend? He goes, there's 24 hours in a day. I guess I spent 24 of them. And this person just couldn't believe it. But the idea that Andrew was getting across was that if you've developed your relationship to God with such a degree that you can just, you walk into a room and the Lord can start speaking to you, you're not closed off to his voice. How do you develop that? By spending time with him. By spending time with him. It would be a bad marriage indeed if you never spent time with your spouse, ever, never had a conversation, never studied what he or she liked, never, if you never did any of those things. Can we all improve in that area as human beings who are married? Some of those of you who are married, yeah, we can all improve in those things. But it'd be a terrible marriage if you didn't even, like, you know, if someone were to say to you, like, well, you know how old your wife is? I don't know. She was old enough to get married. I have no clue. You don't even know how old your wife? Are you sure you know this person? That would be a pretty sad marriage if you knew nothing about your spouse. Well, it's a pretty sad relationship that the church has with its Lord and Savior, when most people probably couldn't say to you, yeah, I hear from the Lord. I've heard God speak to me. Now, some people, that's not a condemnation statement if you go, well, I don't know that I have heard him speak to me. You probably have and didn't recognize it, especially if you spend time in the Word. And so here he says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. But the thing is, you and I can't do that in and of ourselves. But Jesus has reconciled us to the Father. He's brought us back to a place. Amen? So, then I love this. Go with me to the Psalms. As I began this journey of seeking the Lord, the Lord said, the real key here, David was someone that we hear the word says that David was a man after God's own heart. David had the closest thing to a New Testament relationship with the Heavenly Father that you can have outside of being born again. He had this amazing, amazing relationship. Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I will bless thee while I live, and I will lift up my hands in thy name. Because your loving kindness is better than life. I tell you what, when I come into the presence of God in the morning, I don't feel like being here sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. My alarm goes off, and I get here, and I got to come in and turn the lights on, and I put some music on, and people walk around. Some people sit. Some people kneel. I don't know. Maybe some people just come and catch an extra half an hour of nap time. I don't know what. I don't know. All I know is I'm focused on what I have to do. And I come in. And I just, sometimes I don't feel like being here. I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. But Lord, I'm just going to be obedient. You told us to be here. You told me to be here and to get here and open the doors and just make it available. And I'm here, God. And I'm going to be honest, the first 5 minutes, I could be just going, oh, I wish I had made a coffee. Or I wish that my mind is somewhere else. And then I stop. I go, focus. And I just go, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Father. I bless you, Father. And all of a sudden, sometimes it's tangible. I feel like the power of God, the presence of God on me. Other times I don't feel anything, but then I will just know all of a sudden, oh, I come alive on the inside, like I'm awake. Oh, the Lord wants to show me something. And I'll just start, I'll get my notepad out and I sit down and I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Just like, I feel like I'm a secretary. Like I'm going to take notes, dictate some, what do you want? What do you want to share? And the Lord will start to show me some things. I don't feel a thing, but I'm aware. But But over the time of doing this, I'm finding more and more and more that even when I'm not here, outside of here, in that morning prayer, that I become more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I felt like I could hear God before, okay? Just so everyone knows. I wasn't, I'm a pastor, but I never heard from God. No. I always said, yeah, I've heard from God, and God has shown me things, and I've obeyed God in a service, and I've seen things, and I've seen the miraculous, and I've been places, and God has used me. I thought, though, that I heard from God, and I did hear from God, but what I thought was me hearing from God, now I go, oh, I hear from God. I heard from God. But it wasn't a regular occurrence the way I thought. Maybe I had the same kind of open ear. It's shown me that in spite of my position and what I've been doing, that maybe I haven't been listening as intently as I could have. And then all of a sudden, it's heightened that. Okay? We never arrive. We're just on the journey. Okay? But it's sad if you haven't hopped on the train and started the journey. You know what I mean? You need to be on the journey. We all want to get to the destination, but I guarantee you the destination won't be until you reach the other side. So never think you've arrived. Never think, oh, look at me, I'm preaching, I'm here. Oh, look, I'm on TV now. I must have arrived. No, the truth is you get somewhere, and that's when you need to be more aware of what God's saying, because He's now giving you a bigger platform. You might not be called to preach, and you might not have that platform, but what platform you're going to have is you can be the Jesus your neighbor sees. You know, thank God my neighbors are Christians. I've only got really one neighbor. That doesn't mean I don't have to be a good witness to them either, but thank God they're already Christians, because There's the odd time that I know that I haven't been the greatest witness as a neighbor, because April gets a little upset with me. I was trying to be gentle, but I was giving my lawn tractor a little bit of a correction. You know, you spare the rod, spoil the child. I took it like spare the hoe, I spare the lawn tractor. I kind of twisted scripture on that one. And so I gave it a good beating one day because I was so frustrated with my lawn tractor. And then one of my kids looked over and says, because I cracked the thing on the front. And then I got more mad because now I broke my lawn tractor. And I went, and my kids kind of looked at me and says, is that helping, Dad? No, it's not helping. Go play on the trampoline. I walked away, and then I had to repent and say sorry to my kids and go back and try to fix my lawn tractor. And then I got it working. And the irony of it is, as frustrated as I was for so long, when I went back after calming down, when a couple little quick things, boom, my lawn tractor was working. I mean, but flesh gets in the way sometimes, right? And but you know what? Your platform might be to be thanked. The Lord, the business across the street wasn't open when that was happening. I'm not even sure that Gene and Angelo, if you know Gene and Angelo, they're my neighbors. I don't know if they saw anything, but that's what I'm saying. Thank God I have Christians for neighbors at least. You know, I'm not trying to lead my neighbor to the Lord while beating my lawn tractor, you know. But that only happened twice. And it hasn't happened since. But praise the Lord. So yes, no way. It wasn't this summer, Julia. It was last summer. But anyways, so but your platform might not be the pulpit, but your platform is your job, where you are in the community, the things that you're doing. So the more you develop the atmosphere of the presence of God in your own life, the more you're able to hear God and be a blessing to those around you. So Psalm 63. Verse 4 says this, I will bless, did I say verse 4? Did I tell you guys verse 4? Verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live, and I'll lift up my hands. And I'll lift up my hands to praise thee. And now if you look at this in, again, I just want to pull this up in this other. It says, For your tender mercies, your loving kindness, they mean more to me than life itself. How I love and praise you, God. Daily I will worship you passionately and with all my heart. My arms will wave to you like banners of praise. See, as I'm here in the morning and the Lord shows me that verse, okay, and I read these words and I say, I will worship you passionately with all my heart. The day before is when he showed me the verse to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And then in the Passion Translation says all the passions of your heart. And then the next day it's followed up with this. And I'm going, Lord, this has got to be not a coincidence. This has got to be you giving me direction. These verses are just, they're coming up in the app. They're just a daily verse. They say, here's something to meditate on. And yet one day I'm being told this. The next day I'm being reinforced. And then I want to show you one more verse. And this is the third. So this is 3 days in a row. Psalm 9. And I'm going to close with this. We're going to take up the offering and whatnot, but I want to show you this. And I tell you what, if you want to really catch the heart of God on how to love him and worship him and just go to the Psalms. There are some amazing things. Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And I will show forth all your marvelous works. I will praise you with my whole heart. So first, he showed me the verse to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the Passion says, with the passions of your heart, every ounce of your being and every thought that enters your mind. And the next day, he showed me Psalm 63 and saying, your loving kindness means more to me than life. And so I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to, with everything in my heart, I'm gonna go after you, God. And the Passion says it that way, that your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. That I'm going to, my arms will be like the banners of praise. I'm just gonna be worshiping you and vigorously. You know, I shared this. We don't have the benefit of say going back in time, but I've shared this before how. When you read the description of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, that he danced and praised God so passionately that he was basically stripping off his armor. He wanted to be burden free. You know, he got rid of his Mr. Rogers cardigan. He just threw the thing off and he was dancing around in his underwear. That will not happen this morning. I am not King David. And he was just, but everything in his being was passionately praising his God because the presence of God was coming home. But you and I carry the presence of God. So why are we limited in our expressions of gratitude? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. He said, my arms will be like banners of praise. I'm so thankful. So I'm here in the morning. I don't feel like being here. I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And the Lord shows me this verse. And the music's playing. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, hallelujah. Oh God, you're awesome. And I just start praising him. And I just, and I'm telling you, like the power of God comes down. And sometimes I don't know why I just start, I'm crying because of the presence. I'm just like tears are streaming down my face because of how good God is. And I'm going, wow, this really is how you want us to live, God. And so that's one day. Then the next day he reinforces it with Psalm 63. And then the next day he shows me this in Psalm 9:1. And I read it already. In the King James, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And the Lord showed it to me in the Passion. He says, Lord, I will worship you with extended hands as my whole heart explodes with praise. I mean, this is describing someone who is saying, I am not holding back in my praise of you, God. I will tell everyone everywhere about your wonderful works. And how your marvelous miracles exceed expectation. The marvelous works of God are to be broadcast. If God has done something for you in your life, don't just have a little praise moment with your spouse or your kids or something. Oh, isn't that awesome? God did this for us. Praise the Lord. All right, now let's just forget about it and go about life. No! This is your opportunity to make the name of Jesus great, to spread the gospel. That's the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is not someone has to stand up and preach a three-point sermon and do whatever. The preaching of the gospel is you sharing the good news of how God has saved you, how God has delivered you, how God has blessed you, how God has increased you, how God has done miraculous things. And you might say, okay, that's wonderful. He's done great things, but right now I'm struggling with something. Well, guess what? You can preach the gospel to yourself. It doesn't matter that I'm not seeing the answer to this prayer right now or something's not going right in my life. Because guess what? Devil, you can't have the last laugh. You can't have victory here. Sickness, you will not succeed in my life. Why? Because I know God is good. And this is the stuff that God has done for me already. Now, if he's done all this, he didn't bring me out this far just to go, well, you know, I've already done enough for you. That's it. God wants you and I to have our minds renewed on the word, to get to the place where we understand and can live in a place where we don't need to go from miracle to miracle. But I guarantee you, God doesn't look down from the throne and says, are you kidding me? This is the third time this year. You want me to do something for you? Like, when are you going to get over this? When are you going to learn, people? God is a God of loving kindness. His tender mercies towards us mean more, should mean more, they did to King David, mean more to him than life itself. Why would we ever, ever doubt God's goodness when he sent his only son? He sent his only son not only to endure childbirth. I mean, that's not a walk in the park for kids. I mean, it's not a walk in the park for the mom either. Don't get me wrong, but it's not a walk in the park for kids getting birth. They you know, anyone that like from a medical side will describe what has to happen to a baby to get through. There's some stuff that, you know, and it's not easy on the kids per se. And then you got to be raised and you got to be, you know, potty trained, and you gotta learn how to walk, and you fall down, and all, like, life happens. Like if we get this religious idea that, you know, Jesus came as a baby with a halo around his head in some Renaissance picture with the, you know, the big white globes they have on their noggins, and that he just kind of floated into existence out of Mary's belly and then started floating around the house and didn't need a nappy change or diapers or nothing. Like, you know, someone had to feed that kid. Like, he was a baby. God wanted to so solve the human equation and the human problem of sin that he sent Jesus to live from day one a human life and then die a very human death, because he died a human death. His physical body was crucified and he was put to death. How can we ever doubt that Jesus loves us, that he wants the best for us? Like, you know? So, Father God, we thank you this morning. It is our desire to love you passionately with every fiber of our being, with every ounce of strength that we have. Oh, we'll fail. We'll make mistakes. But God, you've already paid for our mistakes. And all you desire of us is a surrender. A surrender to your will, a surrender to your love, a surrender to your goodness. That's it. So, Father God, this morning, We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that this, at this Christmas season that we've entered, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. As he began his earthly ministry, he started living a human life. But we know that it was because of the purpose and the plan and the mission of heaven that you would come once and for all and solve this issue. The man could be reconciled back to you, that we could have complete fellowship and relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator of the universe. So, Father, we thank you and we give you glory and honor this morning in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for the offering this morning. Lord, as people come to give, that nobody's obligated to give anything. But we just know that it's an extension of our worship of you, that you said to be a cheerful giver and to just give whatever's on your heart. So, Father, we just thank you for people coming and bringing their gifts this morning, their tithes and offerings, and just worshiping you with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I did say we'd do some announcements, and I forgot to bring those up.